Well, we wish it was the Pomp and Joe show today, but as the song says, Bob's not here. Where'd he go? He's over at the Tomlin News Conference, although his cardboard mannequin is certainly here. And I'm hot on a lot of topics today. Welcome aboard. City Limits, to my left, the man they call Austin Bechtold. I want to rip Notre Dame today. I'm really frothing over that one. I really want to rip him. And I want to talk Pirates and whether we believe that this Schwarber stuff is real or they're going to sign anybody or, you know, I compare it to an auction. Say I'm at an auction. There's a man named Mr. Smith Limits. He's very rich, Mr. Smith, okay? He's a very rich man, and I have it on very, very good authority that Mr. Smith is going to bid $10,000 on a framed Juan Thornhill photo. One of the greatest photos in history,
good
I
for
might
him.
Add. Yeah. One of the all-time great photos of Juan Thornhill. We didn't even plan that, but that worked out. So I go to the auction. I see Mr. Smith there. I'm positive. I know that he's going to bid $10,000 for the Juan Thornhill framed photo. Well, I'm going to get up to $9,000 for this Limits. I'm going to get up to $9,000 knowing my bid can't win, but making myself look pretty good. You know, Mr. Smith will start out at $7,000. I'll raise him to $7,500. He'll go to $8,000. I'll go to 8,700. People in the auditorium or wherever we are, the auction house, will be wowed. They'll be saying, look at that guy. Look at that savvy old news hound going for the Juan Thornhill. And then I'll go up, and then he'll go to 88, and then I 89. And then he goes to 9,000, and I stop at $9,100.
A real
player. And everybody's impressed, and Ken Rosenthal is reporting that I offered $9,100 for the Juan Thornhill framed photo. And then what do you know? What do you know? Mr. Smith, Smitty they call him, comes in at $9,400. And just to be safe, I give up. But man, is everybody impressed that I took a big swing. Are we really going to indulge this as something real that could happen? Should we? That's my question here. Should we indulge this as something that could actually happen? My inclination is to say no, and again, I'm not impressed. Listen, I'll tell you this: if it's worth more than $100 million, whatever it was it 4 years? He said,
yes.
Rosenthal. Then, if they spend that kind of money on somebody else, then I'll say, oh wow, they really did have interest in Schwarber, and here they are throwing $100 million at this guy, or maybe $20 million at him, $30 million at him, and $20 million at him. So if this is real, if what Rosenthal's reporting, Jason Mackey, I believe, confirmed that reporting, okay, then the Pirates have given away, or somebody's given away, how much they're willing to spend in free agency. Am I right or wrong, Limits?
No, you're right.
Then go spend $100 million on other players. Go get three at $30 million apiece. $40 million. Something. $20 million. Go get five at $20 million. You know what I mean? If that's the case, if they were really willing to part with over $100 million of Bob Nutting's money for Kyle Schwarber, then that's my baseline for what they should spend in free agency. Am I looking at that correctly or incorrectly?
Rosenthal came out with an update today that the offer to Schwarber was in the $120 million range.
Great. Then they're going to spend $120 million on free agents, right?
That's what would make sense, yeah.
Or something thereabouts, right? I'll take 90 million. Get me four players at 20 million apiece. I mean, if I'm a Pirate fan, I'm looking at this. First of all, I'm not believing it, but I'm saying if somebody tells me for certain that they're gonna be willing to spend upwards of $100 million in free agency, beautiful. In fact, I don't even know if the wisest thing to do in that case would be to spend it all on Schwarber. Let's no. spread it around a little bit.
That's what I would do. Not make it like a quality over quantity type of thing.
Let's let Smitty bid 120 or 150 and he can win Schwarber. I'll take my 110 or 120 or even 90 and spend it on other free agents.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll give it to Polanco and I'll give it to Eugenio Suarez.
Gregory
and
Polanco's out there?
Jorge
at the age
Polanco
of 30?
Is out there. And apparently he values comfort and winning. which people are saying makes the Pirates a very unlikely fit.
Well, I'm not believing any of this. I think that they're willing to spend a minimal amount on one guy until I'm proven wrong. So your thoughts on that? I didn't even mean to open with that, but I guess I just did. At 412-928-9370, do you like my new Warriors winter hat limits? I got it at the airport.
I do. Very nice. Which airport did you get it at?
I can't remember. Oh, it was Pittsburgh. Yeah, on the way back. I left Nashville without, I usually buy a little treat or trinket to leave a city with, and I never did. And then we went out to dinner at the airport on the way home. There's a little Italian place at the airport that's unbelievable. Limits. I forget the name.
In the new terminal? What was it like?
Oh my gosh, did I tell you about the new terminal?
No, you didn't.
What do we like and not like about the new terminal?
I'm dying
to hear from people about this. I didn't know where I was. I couldn't find the Hyatt is usually my marking point. You know what I mean? I couldn't find it. The parking leading up to the signs for the parking leading up to the airport are horrific. The signs inside the new airport, horrific. The lack of a PNC bank, horrific. Mm. Now here's things I liked about it, Limits. Easier, actually, once you figure out where to park, you can, at least I did, maybe accidentally, I parked right next to the terminal and just walked in. That I liked.
Did you get a ticket?
No. I mean, yeah.
Did you pay $150?
No. Everything was safe when I got back. That much I liked. I liked the new security system. I thought that was great. I used to enjoy riding the little shuttle back and forth.
Oh, I loved the little train. It was great.
That was a ritual, but I can live without it.
I can't.
And I got out of the airport way easier. For some reason, exiting. Oh, here's another nice new feature. Is the credit card situation when you're pulling out is much better. They've updated machines. Even I could figure them out.
For the parking gate?
Yeah, that much I loved. I loved the look, the decor. I really did enjoy that. I think that was nice. I did. So by and large, I'm a quasi fan of the new airport. I mean, it is. Have you been there yet?
Not yet, no.
It's radically.
It only opened like a month ago.
It's radically different. Radically different.
Are there any clicky clacky floors at all?
I didn't notice that either.
How did you not notice that?
What do you mean clicky clacky?
That was one of the best parts of the other.
What you mean?
That was one of the best parts of the old airport.
Explain that to me.
You would wheel your suitcase on the ground. You hear the floor like click the click 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 of your suitcase. People love that. I love that.
I honestly, I never knew of this and didn't notice another bad feature. Franco is like relegated practically to a closet. What are we doing here?
Well, I knew there was a whole display for Franco.
There is, but it's off to the side and it's in a little indentation in the wall. It's like, what are we doing? Plus it says 0.00 on the clock, which is not accurate when he caught the ball.
Did they change the score from when they originally put 12-7? But the score did not line up and sync with the clock. It was 13-7, the final score.
Something is wrong with that, but I think they did check. They changed the score. So there's positives and there's negatives to the new airport, and I'm dying to know what people think of it, really.
Does George Washington have a little display, like when he was right next to Franco?
No, and I'm sad about that.
Has George been taken out?
I don't know. I wouldn't vouch for that. I didn't see him next to Franco. Mm. He may have been taken out. I don't know. Didn't he call the show once, disguised as Andrew Filippone? George. Yeah, I think maybe that was it for him at the airport. Maybe that was his Waterloo, so to speak. Is that Napoleon? I don't know who it was.
Texter, the new airport, especially the parking, is more confusing than Matt Canada's offense.
I agree 1,000%. Maybe I'm crazy, but I only saw one sign that had the word parking on it, and that was way before I got to where the parking is. Then all it said was rental car here, terminal lot there. So terminal lot equals parking, I guess. I guess it did because I followed that. I didn't know where the hell I was. I was in a place I've never been before at the airport, so I just parked in 4A. But it turned out I was closer to the terminal limits. I was closer to the terminal, which was what made me happy. But the signage, come on. Yeah, just put the word parking there so idiots like me know where to park. Parking, P-A-R-K-I-N-G. And then you get inside and the signage to where the parking lot is again when you're coming back from your flight is very confusing. Can we just have something that says parking lot, go this way, arrow, parking? It doesn't say that.
And they just put in a new parking garage as well, too.
I don't want to park in a garage. I want to park in an open lot.
I want to park as far away as possible so that it's the cheapest as possible.
I want to park as close and cheaply as possible, and I didn't have to walk this time. There were things I loved, and there were things I did not love. Please text us at 412-928-9370, and please pull over before you do if you're listening at home or if you're watching on YouTube, even better. You can see Bob's cardboard cutout sitting across from me. The bottom line is limits. I was blown away by how different it is. And I had only been following that story very tangentially, if that's a word. And my wife was laughing at me. She said, "You didn't know we had a new airport?" I said, "I've seen headlines like that things have changed." I couldn't find her. Limits. I was a traveling beat writer with the Penguins. I used to take, you know, six flights a week at times when you consider there and back.
Yeah.
And I entered the airport unwittingly in a place I've never entered it before. I had no idea where I was.
Well, I'm sure a lot of other people felt the same way the first time they've gone.
And then
they haven't gone yet.
And then no idea where to go. It was incredible. But by and large, I think it's been a good effort. I just think there are things that need to be improved.
Yeah, the texters are not very happy about the Franco display.
Let's hear some texting feedback on this, because I meant to do this yesterday, but we had other things on our mind.
One texter says that Franco is in a temporary spot for now. I don't know if it's temporary or not, but another says the Franco statue or a mural looks like a Nintendo game, and they have the score wrong. It's no wonder they don't have good signs for where to park, LOL.
I know. What are we doing with the Franco thing? Next thing you know, they're going to have a statue of him dropping the ball at the airport. What are we doing? What else do they say?
Texter, sounds like Limits wants to park at Globe Airport Parking. Shout out to them.
With Chris Oak.
With Chris Oak, yes. Somebody else says, how has Joe lived here since the early 90s and not known about the clickety-clackety floors? I can't believe that, Joe. Did you have like a duffel bag?
November of 89,
did you always carry
precise.
A duffel bag?
I have a Charleston hockey duffel bag with
okay.
my inscribed.
That might be why. So you don't roll your suitcase at all.
I thought you might be curious and say, why do you have a Charleston hockey bag, minor league hockey?
No.
Okay.
But please explain.
I ordered it online a while ago. I don't know how I went down a rabbit hole of monogrammed. It's not even luggage. It's a duffel bag. And I thought it was a cool logo. And so it says Charleston hockey or something with my name on it.
Not the Charleston Chiefs?
No. Anything else, Limits?
Somebody else says the score still says 12-7. But I thought Josh Yoey tweeted out that they fixed the score either yesterday or
that
the day before.
I was fixated on the clock saying 0-0 and the fact that Franco wasn't an obvious sight for everybody to see. Can it be that hard to put the Frank? Just put it in the middle of the airport if you have to.
Yeah.
Right, Limits?
They had it in a good spot where basically everybody could see it going right down the escalators last time.
I will
time.
Say this, too. It had a Christmassy holiday feel. Like, I like the vibe in the new airport. I do. I do like it.
Did it give you a vibe like you were going to be running in Home Alone when they were trying to catch the flight?
A little bit.
Christmassy
yeah.
vibe?
Yeah. Little bit. I felt good overall, just very, very confused. All right, that's enough of that. And I'm confused on the Pirates as well. Actually, I'm not. I'm pretty clear. Did you like my Smitty analogy?
I did, yes.
To the auction? Well, what do you think? You're a Pirate fan. When it's all said and done, will they have reeled in a big fish, a medium fish, or a bunch of minnows again?
I think a medium fish. Like, I don't think that Kyle Schwarber is actually realistic. I like that they're at least being reported 4 years, 120 for $30 million a year. But that's, I mean, I'm taking it with a huge grain of salt, though, Joe.
When you say not realistic, then you don't believe the report, or you don't believe that they're actually willing to go up where the bidding's going to go.
I believe the report, but I don't believe that they are going to up the bidding number, you know, because the higher it goes up, Schwarber's probably going to end up with about $35 million a year. Would the Pirates actually pay that?
Listen, I'll sit in this seat and be very, very happy to admit I'm wrong about the Pirates if it comes to be that they land a big fish. And by big fish, we're talking, what, 25, 30, 30 million a year,
yeah.
something like that?
Yes.
I'll be happy. But man, if those reports are accurate and if that's what's out there, at 100, between 100 and 120 million, then that should be the baseline for how much they spend in free agency. You're willing to put that out for Schwarber? Okay, you don't get him? Then spend that money elsewhere. That's my bottom line with them. Do we agree on that limit?
Yes, I definitely agree with that. I mean, the fact that there's all this talk, and there was the report a couple of days ago that, oh, it's like the Pirates are a freshman in high school with a brand new credit card, and they're just trying to figure out what to spend it on.
Yeah, okay.
They didn't spend it on anything yet.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yes. So it's a huge grain of salt for me.
As I've said with Omar Khan and wide receivers, deliver the baby. All the talk of how hard you tried is great. And how, you know, you thought you had this guy. Ayuk was at the goal line, as they say. I don't care. It's pro sports. Deliver. Off the Top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. So I guess that's a long way of saying I don't really care that they're being mentioned in the Kyle Schwarber sweepstakes. It means nothing to me. Nothing. I hear people, you know, they were indulging this a little bit on the PM show yesterday, and maybe they're right, acting like this is a real thing. I'm not going to do that.
Well, I don't think we should entirely brush it off as entirely false and not talk about it. Like, I think it's definitely relevant.
I don't think it's a false report. I explained my feelings on it. I think it's a situation where they know they're not getting him. So let's see if they spend that money elsewhere.
I do think that it's relevant enough that in all the discussions, it's the Pirates' numbers that have come out on what their offer is. We haven't really seen that with Philadelphia. The Reds are very interested. We haven't seen any numbers. So maybe it is the Pirates trying to control the narrative a little bit, and hey, we're out there very actively trying.
I agree with Dayon. It's agents putting it out there, trying to whip up as much of a bidding war as you can possibly get going.
I could see both.
That's what I believe. All right. You want to weigh in on that? I mean, there's plenty of other guys. Anybody else tickle your fancy?
Eugenio Suarez would be the guy that I would take immediately.
How much?
360. I think makes plenty of sense. $20 million a year.
And then they'd still have $60 million left over if you believe the report.
Yes, they would.
Schwarber.
Yes, they would. Wouldn't it make more sense to them? Like, if Kyle Schwarber is their guy, hypothetically, let's just say, and it is like a 4 and 120, maybe they go to a 5 and like 150 type of contract. Do they really believe, because that would be the only money that they'd spend, we'd have to assume, do they really believe that they're just one bat away? Like one bat and Connor Griffin away after this trade that they made with the Red Sox? So it's this bat they got from Boston. Griffin comes up in about May, let's just say. And then Schwarber.
Two unproven bats at the major league level, but go ahead.
Right, and that's all they need?
No, they need people who we know can hit. People already have track records hitting major league pitching.
We agree with that, but I wonder if they think otherwise, if it would be true that they signed Schwarber and that would be it. They'd be done.
Meanwhile,
if they thought just one bat.
412-928-9370. I saw the passing of, a lot of people may not know who this guy is, Raul Mala, lead singer for a band called The Mavericks, my wife Susie's favorite band. That's why we went to Nashville. I bought these tickets back in August. Excuse me. Just thinking it would be cool to go to Nashville and see the Mavericks. Between then and now, he came down with cancer and just passed away at the age of 60. So RIP, Raul Mala.
RIP.
It was still an incredible show because it was a tribute to him. It was a bunch of, like, you know, famous Nashville singers.
Yeah.
Singing their songs with the rest of the band. So it was real emotional.
That's cool.
Great show at the Ryman Theater. So RIP, Raul, one of the great voices, I think, in music history. If you ever get a chance to listen to something by the Mavericks. In the meantime, I'm losing my voice today, Limits, but we're going to forge ahead.
I can tell. We will make sure that you are good with some remedies and some water and taking everything necessary. Maybe some cough drops. If we have them.
Yeah, perhaps comfortable. I'm not sick. I just have lost my voice. Let's talk Steelers, too. We'll take calls on the Pirates situation. 412-928-9370. Fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service. Providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. And it's a simple yes or no question. Now that we've had a day to digest, do you think this team's going to win a playoff game? And let me add to that. who would be your preferred opponent if you win the AFC North? And I made a mistake yesterday, God bless me, by saying the tiebreakers went head-to-head, division, and then conference. That was wrong, as Mark Cabali pointed out. It's head-to-head, division record, and then common opponents. Here's the common opponents with Ravens and Steelers. Are you ready for this, Limits?
Please.
Browns, Bengals, Packers, Bills, Lions, Bears, Dolphins, Vikings, Jets, and New England. And right now, the Ravens are 6-3, and the Steelers are 5-4, but they both have three games pending with common opponents, so we'll see what happens there. It could go all the way to conference record where the Steelers lead by two. But anyway, your avenue to the playoffs is clearly winning the division, right? I mean, that's obvious at this point. Would you agree with that, O Limitless Wonder?
Yes, I would agree with that.
I mean, I don't think you're getting in as a wild card at this point. The Steelers have like the, I think, eighth best record in the AFC. So if you're getting in, it's very likely as a division champ. And then among the candidates you could face, Chargers, Bills, right now it would be the Chargers with their win last night. Chargers, Bills, Texans, Jags seem like the four most likely candidates. Who would you most want to play of those teams, Limits? Limits is on the phone. I'd most likely play or most want to play the Jags. I go by quarterbacks and overall team, obviously, but quarterbacks. I don't want to see Josh Allen in a playoff game. I'm not sure I want to see Justin Herbert. Now, Trevor Lawrence is the next best quarterback on that list, probably. I think C.J. Stroud has really gotten a raw deal in Houston. I think he's really good, and he has no offensive line. He really doesn't have a run game. But bottom line is that offense is not good in Houston. The defense is great. So my order would be Jags first, probably Texans second, Chargers, and then the Bills are the team I don't want to see because of that guy, Josh Allen. But can the Steelers win a playoff game? I mean, of course they can. Are you getting more of a feeling that they could win one? And my answer for me is yes. How about you? 412-928-9370. Is that a prediction? Absolutely not. If you ask me to bet right now, I'd say no, they're not winning a playoff game. Am I getting more of a feeling that they could? Yes, I am, for a couple of reasons. And we mentioned this a little bit yesterday, but really didn't dive in. You got to have a quarterback, and if the Rodgers that we saw Sunday is sustainable, they have a quarterback. We're getting pretty late in the year right now. That was a great sign when he was showing signs of deterioration, if not falling off a cliff. He came back and played really well. His best game in a Steeler uniform, if you ask me. If you have that, and if the Steelers finally go into the playoffs with their playmakers healthy on defense, I give them a shot. I do. I don't think Hayward and Watt have been entirely healthy. I don't think either was going into the playoffs last year. Highsmith is feels like rarely at full health. I knew he was limping around the other day, but he was good enough to make the game-ending sack. You give me those three guys healthy and a quarterback, and I give them a better shot than I dreamed that they would have this season. I do. I think Cam Hayward's playing pretty darn well. I don't know if the splash numbers show that, but every analytic I see, Limits, tells me that Cam Hayward is actually playing good football this year. And I saw him at the end of the game the other day still having a strong rush. And I thought to myself, by the way, during that game, watching him, how does that body hold up?
Yeah.
That guy's been doing it forever.
He's not playing as well as he did last year, but he's still playing at a high level. Last year was an all-pro level, and the older he gets, the expectation of that continuing just shouldn't be there as much. I do agree with you that Jacksonville would be number one on that list. I would put the Chargers at two just because their tackles are banged up.
The team you most want to play.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know how much I like Justin Herbert. But there are just some things with that offense
they're
that
banged
still
up,
concern
man.
Me.
Yeah, they're banged up. That was a good win last night, though.
Plus, Houston's defense is the best in the NFL right now.
Yeah,
Their offense is not good, but if that defense forces a couple of turnovers and can make Mike Tomlin really nervous because turnovers in his mind are the only thing that wins games, I would not want to play Houston.
412-928-9370. Do you have more of a feeling than you've generally had with these Steelers that they could win a playoff game?
Mike Tomlin set to address the media at noon. You're going to hear it right here on 93.7 The Fan. Nick Faribault will join the show in just about 20 minutes as we get ready for Steelers and Dolphins. Miami, a team that almost fired its coach and did fire its general manager early on this season and decided to ride it out with Mike McDaniel for the rest of the year. The Dolphins have been somewhat rewarded by that, and they will battle it out against the Steelers on Monday Night Football, where the vibes should be a little bit better than what they might have been if the Steelers had lost to Baltimore. Joe, what do you expect Mike Tomlin to say today? It should be a much more different type of feeling press conference compared to last week, where tensions were very sky high.
I didn't feel like tensions were that high.
No?
Last week. I thought it was a very tampered down situation where we've seen at times Tomlin gets very combative in news conferences sometimes. Not a lot. Maybe combative is the wrong word. Maybe irritated is a better word.
Yeah. Especially earlier this year when he said, man, you guys really annoyed me today.
Yeah, like that. And I like that, by the way, that version of Tomlin. Last week, I thought it was just very, let's sort of get through this and that'll be that. I'm curious to see about today. I thought he made some good moves last week that helped them win a football game. And now they have, I think, an unexpectedly are we on the air, by the way?
We are.
Did you do your update? I was talking to the big boss. You saw that down there, right?
I did, yes. I was with you.
You even came in for a minute.
Yes.
You and I had some pre-show tension limits that I'd like to address.
Mm.
I went into where you record back there.
Correct.
And you were very unreceptive to me 10 minutes before the show.
Well, you immediately walked in, stood behind me, started singing a song, and started rubbing my shoulders, and I felt uncomfortable. Let's not leave that out of the equation here.
You were working on something not related to the show.
Correct, because I had everything done related to the show already.
Oh.
I made sure that I had everything processed.
But it was 10 minutes before the show.
Right. I wanted to make sure that I prepare ahead of time. We know how important preparation is in our business.
Okay. All right. What exactly did you prepare for the show?
Well, if there was any extra audio that we needed, updating the reads for you, because whenever you have a message for the people, we want to make sure that it's correct and at the correct time, and monitoring social media for any news that might drop. Like the Ken Rosenthal $120 million offer to Kyle Schwarber that was
reported. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that, the $120 million
offer.
$412-928-9370. The Steelers, if you want to talk about that. Is anybody on the line to talk about that?
We have a couple of people, yes.
Why don't we?
Let's start with Melvin. Melvin is in the car.
May I call you Mel?
Yes.
Thank you.
So, yeah,
what do you got?
Like far as the Steelers winning the playoff game, I think I would like to say, hold up, let's see how they do against Miami, because this is the type of game they usually lose, a team that they would beat. So,
no, I agree with that, but we don't have the luxury of waiting until then. We're on the air right now. So what's your feel?
Yeah. The feel is, I'm not sure. I'm just not sure yet. I don't think they'll win a playoff game yet. Especially those teams that you listed. Like, we always have trouble in history when we play Jacksonville, even when we should beat them. I mean, look at the Blake Bortles game. We lose to Jacksonville. So it's like, I don't feel comfortable playing any of those games. We don't play good against Houston most of the time. And so I don't have confidence. I need to see.
I'm with you.
Win a couple more games.
I'm actually with you, Melvin. I am on that. I just have more of a feeling, I guess, than I've had really at any point since the Colts game, that this could actually happen, that they could break their near decade-long playoff win drought. I appreciate the call, man. I guess it's a potpourri, a limitless wonder.
What is the true definition of potpourri?
Many different things in one spot. Almost like a smorgasbord.
So what is the... Isn't there also potpourri that's like out as decoration that you have? Like a bunch of fruits?
I don't know.
That you can have in like your dining room table?
Yeah, maybe I have the definition completely wrong. Do I?
I don't even know how to spell potpourri.
P-O-T-P-U-R-R-I, I think.
P-O-T.
Potpourri. Yeah, I think. Is anybody else on the line?
Oh, it's like, it's spelled like potpourri, yeah. Except you just don't say the T.
Right.
Here is Neil in Coriopolis.
God limits.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Austin.
What's
I
up?
I don't have any. I think we keep getting sucked back into this, and you know they were just talking about we haven't won back to back games, and like our last 3-game winning streak was against 5 turnovers for the Patriots, against Carson Wentz, and then against Dylan Gabriel, who won't be an NFL quarterback probably next year or the year after.
Yeah.
So I don't.
Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing.
We get sucked back in as Steeler fans, you know? Like, we have all these AFC championships in the 90s and 2000s, and then now we're just stuck in this. Maybe we could, you know.
I know. Believe me, I know. But,
I know.
But here's the thing. It's a different year in the AFC, and everybody's got problems. Like,
yeah.
Are you in a wind tunnel, sir?
No, I'm outside. I'm standing outside of work at Doughboys Pizza in McKees Rocks just talking to you.
Nice. Thank you for making the call. You know, if you're in Baltimore right now, they're up in arms. Buffalo, I've been there back and forth several different times since September, and they don't know what they have there at all. They've got problems on defense, to be sure.
Yeah.
Houston doesn't have an offense. The Chargers are banged up beyond belief, although I think that's a pretty good football team. Jacksonville,
yeah.
Would you fear a game against Jacksonville? I wouldn't. Denver seems to have a pretty good all-around team, but certainly not a great one. And then there's
Jacoby Myers, though. I would love to have him.
Yeah,
he's really opened up that offense for the Jaguars.
Me too. And you don't have to worry about
putting him in, and I do like Thielen because I feel like that was like it opened up DK. And if they could just scheme back-to-back games, you know, wisely, it's like I just hope they don't come into this game with a bad plan because that seems to be. What has happened is like we're going to run the ball.
Yeah, Miami's playing well. I appreciate the call, man. Miami's playing pretty well, too. That's the thing, is that suddenly, from out of nowhere, the Dolphins seem like a formidable foe. Limits. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know that they've, you know, beaten a murderer's row here, although they did earlier this season. They hammered Buffalo. That was just about a month ago that they ripped the Bills, and then they beat, you know, the Commanders, the Saints, and the Jets, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I mean, they're on
a
winning
streak. How seriously are we taking that? Now,
not really.
To their credit, I thought that the wheels had completely come off the Mike McDaniel machine.
Oh, I did too. We both thought he was going to be fired.
Right. I mean, you remember earlier this season, and the one thing about McDaniel is he's very succinct and clear when asked about things.
He was really frustrated at the, you know, just like he's... As I was, and you know, we talked about the challenge ahead to get ready for the Chargers, that was kind of the extent of it.
We're trying to make sure that his quarterback does not throw 10 picks.
Yeah, he's going to take the snaps this week, and he's going to be our starter this week. And my expectation is that we don't throw 10 picks.
Tremendous stuff. Now, they had a very competitive game against New England earlier this year, and they outplayed Buffalo in Buffalo. Well, they wound up losing by 10, but if you remember that game on a Thursday night, very competitive. They had a 2-point game against the Chargers. This is not a bad football team, and I thought it would be. I thought it would be a horrendous team, and it's really not. But here's the thing. Can you look up A-Chain? Is he playing? He's a star, and he can score every time he touches the ball, and he's the type of guy who on the wrong day with the wrong scheme for a day or simply bad execution could light up the Steelers for 200 yards. What's his status?
Yeah, he has a rib injury. There was no fracture, and he is expected to play in the upcoming game. So
that makes it a lot more interesting. I'll tell you that. It really does, because he's a star. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Partly cloudy today with a high of Andy Russell, 34, a low of Scotty Miller. Whatever happened to big play Scotty?
He played.
I know, but whatever happened to him? A low of 13. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Before we get to another call, you mentioned Phil Rivers, and I have a trivia question for you. Is there news on him? Is that going to happen?
So he's worked out for the Colts. He hasn't played since, what, like 2020? I heard that Philip Rivers is also a grandfather now.
Well, that was my trivia. What are they going to bring back, LaDainian Tomlinson too? I mean, what are they doing? So he's a grandfather. Yes. I looked this up today, believe it or not, because somebody asked me in my Post-Gazette mailbag, would he be the first grandfather to ever play in the NFL?
And that's a great question.
According to Yahoo, there was one other. I thought it might be George Blanda because he was older than Ron Cook when he still played. But the other one was who limits? Wrong.
Would it have been Warren Moon?
Great guess, but no.
I'm trying to think of players that went until like 45.
Yeah, you'd think a kicker maybe, right? Yeah. Like a Jan Stenerud may have been Grandpa Jan. I don't know.
Y.A. Tittle?
Granny Yanny? I don't know. Y.A. Tittle's a great guess, but not to my knowledge.
Johnny Unitas?
Great guess, but no. Brett Favre.
Really?
Was a grandfather, at least according to Yahoo.
Did not know that.
In his last year or two. Grandpa Brett. I go by Grandpa Joe. Seems cumbersome. How should I shorten that with my granddaughter Mallory?
You don't like Papa or Pap or Pa?
Well, some of those names might already be taken in the family. Do I just go by Joe?
No. You have to go by
Papa Joe?
You have to go by Papa something.
It can't be two things at once.
Like my mom's dad to us is Papa or Papa Bob.
Yeah, but what if there's another grandfather in the picture that's already Papa? It can't be two Papas.
My dad's dad to us was Pap.
Yeah.
So you could be Pap and Papa.
I could be Peepaw, Meepaw.
You could be Mimi.
Me? No.
I don't think you do.
No, we had a Mimi earlier. That's for the grandmother.
That's the grandmother, yeah.
So what are we looking at here? I think Grandpa Joe is a good name.
Grandpa Joe can work.
It's from Tom Sawyer, I think, isn't it? Or something. But no, it can't work because the kid can't talk yet. How's she going to say Grandpa Joe?
Then just say Papa or Papa Joe.
Then she's going to get confused if there's another Papa.
Is there another Papa?
I don't know. I'm not around all the grandfathers. There might be and there might not be.
You can't ask the parents?
I might have to. Yes.
I feel like that's a very easy question to ask there, Joe. There's a solution there.
Sometimes things get complicated, Limits.
That's true.
Next phone.
Here is Ron. Ron is in Indiana.
Hey, Ron.
Well, you guys are cracking me up. What's
happening?
On? Hey, so two things. Phillip Rivers doesn't cuss. He probably doesn't drink. Got 10 kids. Coaches high school football. I'd love to see him and Ben Roethlisberger do like 40-yard dash right now.
Wait a second. Is it a fact that he has 10 kids?
Yes.
I believe so.
So he could basically quarterback his own offense then, right?
Can you imagine Phillip Rivers in like 20 years? He's coaching his team. Like he just decides the 34th team in the NFL, an expansion team, welcome to Portland, Oregon, and it'll be coached by Phillip Rivers with the entire Rivers family playing on offense.
Like the Von Trapps and the Sound of Music. What if they just lined up and they knew like the West Coast offense by heart and just started running these intricate pass patterns?
And you can hear 95-year-old Chris Collinsworth, I tell you what, Al, they've been running these plays since they were in a backyard at 5 years old. I tell you what, that Patrick Mahomes.
What's on your mind, sir?
Well, and the grandkids on the sideline saying, Papa Phil, Papa Phil. So, regarding the playoffs, if Tomlin lets Rodgers do what he did last week and takes the handcuffs off and Rodgers stays healthy, we can win playoffs because anybody can win or lose any given day, but it's up to Tomlin. Let them play. Rodgers has to stay healthy. We could win the conference.
You know what? I don't think that would be like the Miracle on Ice because of the shape the conference is in. If the Steelers played the Jags this weekend, would you be surprised if either team won? I wouldn't. Would you, Limits? No. I'll answer for you.
A little bit, yeah.
If the Steelers beat the Jags, you'd be surprised?
They haven't won a playoff game in 8 years. I'd be a little bit surprised if they just
win
like
a playoff
game at this
point. It's not like the Jags are the 85 Bears. They don't have a dynasty going.
I know that, but the last time, when this streak ultimately...
Who would be favored if the Jags came here next week for a playoff game? Who's favored?
I think the Steelers by about a point.
So how could you be surprised if they won as a home favorite?
Could you imagine if the streak begins with Jacksonville and ends with Jacksonville?
Did it begin with Jacksonville?
Yeah,
I guess, I mean, the yearly next, streak.
The,
yeah.
Yes, the yearly streak in 2017 started with Jacksonville. Yeah.
What's your name, sir?
This is Ron.
Ron.
Can you
Ron
believe?
Ron Butler.
Ron Butler. Can you believe Limits at this point? He's lost his mind. There's not. Hey, let's put it this way. There's not a single team in the AFC that I would be shocked if the Steelers beat. Again, I'm not predicting it. I've maintained this through all the ups and downs and reevaluations. I don't think they're going to win a playoff game. But on a given week, if they played, you know, pick a team, Denver next week, would that shock me if they beat Bo Nix and company? No. Maybe that's just me. Mike?
100%.
Ron? Okay. Thank you, sir. Limits, I thought he was going to have more of a comment at the end.
Yeah, I did too. He just kind of paused and waited his turn.
Left me hanging there. By the way, Notre Dame can shut up. That's what I say to them. And I actually think they should be in the playoff. I think it's ludicrous that you have Tulane and James Madison in the college football playoff and not Notre Dame. Notre Dame is practically the team I saw come to Pitt. How many NFL guys are on that team? What have they won, 10 games in a row?
Yeah, Jeremiah Love's a Heisman candidate.
Come on. He might be the best player in all of college football. And they're not in, but Tulane and James Madison are? What are we doing here?
I love that Tulane and James Madison are in.
I want one underdog, not two. If you have 64 teams, great. You only got 12. Meanwhile, they should be in over Alabama. They didn't even look they didn't consider Alabama's horrible performance in their conference title game or the fact that they lost to Florida State, who stinks. Having said that, Notre Dame really has only itself to blame. And yet, you've got their commissioner, you've got not the commissioner, the AD out there complaining about the ACC and complaining how they've been unfairly criticized and all this crap with Notre Dame. Okay. Notre Dame has acted in its own best self-interests since I've known Notre Dame, and I grew up a Notre Dame fan, quasi fan. They had a running back named Eric Penick. You don't remember him, Limits, but he went 44 yards down the sidelines against USC one year. And I liked Notre Dame in their helmets. The ACC advocated for the ACC. Notre Dame's not in it in football, the last I checked. So the ACC advocated for one of its own in Miami. And if they happen to show Miami beating Notre Dame on a loop on the ACC network, too bad. If they sent out tweets comparing Notre Dame and Miami's resumes, too bad. The ACC advocated for its member school. And for Notre Dame to sit there and throw a fit over that is just pathetic. It really is. It's pathetic. Plus, the ACC's given Notre Dame a home for all its non-revenue sports, last I checked. Am I right about that?
That was correct.
So what do they expect the ACC to do? Not advocate for Miami? What's the word for it? The privilege that Notre Dame thinks it has. It collected the entire $20 million it had for its college football playoff run last year. Didn't have to share with anybody. Collected it all for itself. Doesn't think it has to play in a conference. So go home. Take your ball with you. We won't see you in a bowl game. Oh, well. Bye-bye, Notre Dame. Get out of here. You agree?
I 1,000% agree. It is soft and it is ridiculous by Notre Dame to do this because they think they're high and mighty and they're just ultimately better than everybody with our independence and with our contract that we have with NBC. Notre Dame, you can't just have your cake and eat it too here in this situation.
It's embarrassing.
It's very embarrassing.
It's beneath Notre Dame to do this. And here's the thing. While I agree they should be in, it's still a borderline case, and they made it a borderline case, either or both, you could say, by idiotic scheduling, by having Miami and Texas A&M lead off your schedule, or simply by not performing in those games. Sorry, but those games count. It's 2 of 12. That's a lot of games in a 12-game season, 2 of them. And you lost, and you gave up 68 points. So, and one of them was at home. You gave up 40, I think it was. Was it a neutral site game or at home? They gave up 41 points to Texas A&M. So quit your crying. Start off your season with somebody else. Schedule smarter until you get things figured out and you start playing well later in the year. You didn't beat anybody. Whose fault is that? You lost to the two best teams on your schedule. And like I said, gave up 68 points in doing so. So get out of here. Please, leave.
If you think that's bad, their schedule next year is even more ridiculous.
Well, I mean, to their credit, I guess, they opened with Miami and Texas A&M.
Right. Good for them. They play Miami later on in the year, next year in November. But they play like Boston College, who's bad, Stanford, Syracuse, who won three games this year, Michigan State that fired their coach, Purdue, Bill Belichick in North Carolina, and they also play Rice. Their only difficult games are SMU, but that's on the road, USC at home, and they play against Wisconsin and Green Bay. They should be able to run over Wisconsin.
Plus, how many ACC schools do they play limits? They're supposed to play five, right?
They play North Carolina, yeah. Miami, Boston College, SMU, Stanford, and Syracuse, so six.
SMU won't be an easy game with the talent that they've been collecting.
It will
lately.
Not.
They're probably smart. You know, that sounds like, does it have it in order? Who are they opening with?
They're opening with Wisconsin, but I think there's supposed to be a game before that, the week before. They're playing in Green Bay against Wisconsin. I think it's at Lambeau.
Get off to a better start. If you start out by losing two, you're practically done. You know? Now, to their credit, they ran the table after that against mostly weak competition. So I just don't want to hear their crying.
And for the people that say, oh, well, schedule more difficult things, the schedules are made so far in advance. Look at Alabama canceling.
What do you mean schedule more difficult things? They started out with Texas A&M and Miami.
I'm talking about for future seasons. But look at what Alabama did. They took West Virginia off the schedule. Sure, West Virginia's down, but to schedule FCS opponents.
I don't blame. If I'm in the SEC, I have built-in wins that can help, or built-in games that can help me if I win. I'm scheduling Point Park three times if I'm in the SEC. Nothing against Point Park. My wife went there. Tom McMillan went there.
Bob Pompeiani went there.
Uh-huh. Wonderful school. But I think you're crazy. You win. You need not to lose three, although now Alabama has, so I guess three and get in, right? Why are they in?
They have no reason to be in. A three-loss team should not be in when Vanderbilt and BYU even, I think, had worthier candidacies than Alabama in that situation. The way they played against Georgia pummeled them. They were non-competitive in that SEC championship game.
And they weren't very competitive even in their win against Auburn. That was an awful effort. They were petering out at the end,
Alabama escaped.
But they get in. Listen to the Pomp and Joe show every Wednesday. And they didn't get in last year when they deserved.
They were a better team last year with three losses than they are this year.